Please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians, chapter 1, in your Scofield Bible, page 1258. We'll begin with the 21st verse and read responsively through verse 26. Philippians, chapter 1, verses 21 through 26, in your Scofield Bible, page 1258. And let's stand together, please, as our custom is here at First Baptist. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And let's pray. Father, great is our privilege. Thank you for our church. Thank you for these who visit with us. Thank you for the faithfulness and loyalty of our dear members. Thank you that on this day we have the honor and privilege of being here once again as a church family. We feel a closeness. We feel the presence of Thy Spirit. We believe that Thou art, of course, going to do a work here for us today. Help us not to separate ourselves from the possibility of your working in our own hearts. So do that which thou wouldst be pleased to do. Bless our preacher and the preaching. And help us to give extreme and careful attention to the preaching today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, you must use it or lose it. You must use it or lose it. I hope you'll listen to me carefully. Father, I pray this morning you'll speak to my heart and through my heart to the hearts of the dear people to whom I preach. I pray you'd give me their attention. May they listen carefully. May I listen carefully to you and present to them what you want them to hear through me. In Jesus' name, amen. I work hard. I doubt very seriously if there's a man in this room who puts in more hours at his job than I do. There are reasons why I work hard. I want to share with you this morning one of those reasons. And I promise you today, this message, in many cases, could add years to somebody's life. I promise you. Numbers of you people will live longer because of this sermon if you listen to it and if you heed it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that people that die young, I do so because they did not listen. But I am saying that there are ways that you can extend your life. I mean, if you would have gone at 30, there are ways you could have gone to 35. If you're going to pass away at 45, there are ways you could live to 50. For example, honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God promises extended life to those who honor their mothers and fathers. It does not say if you honor your mother and father, you live to be 100 years old. It means you can live longer than you would have lived if you honor your mother and father. And I'm talking to some young people today who are going to die younger than you. You're going to die sooner than you would have died because you don't honor your mother and father. Now, today, I want to help you. So, now I'm going to give you 11 statements. And one upon one, it's important that you hear them all. So I want to use this microphone here and put this one up. I'll put this one aside. Turn my treble up and the volume up just a bit, please. Statement number one, God loves you. That's a good start. God loves you. Now, everything I'm going to say this morning is based on that one statement, that God loves you. Now, the second statement I want to make is this. Because He does love you, He wants to help you. God is concerned about you getting help. God is concerned about you getting strength. God is concerned about you being helped. So statement number one, God loves you. Statement number two, God wants to help you. Statement number three, listen carefully. God has chosen me to help you for Him. Let me say it again. God loves you. And God wants to help you. But you see, God has no physical hands. You've heard the poem again and again. God has no hands but our hands to lead men to His way, to help men today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to His way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men that Christ died. He has no help but our help to lead men to His side. We're the only Bible this careless world will read. We're the sinner's gospel. We're the scoffer's creed. We're the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other works than His? What if our feet are leading where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things that Christ would spurn? How can we hope to aid Him and hasten His return? I'm saying God cannot take His own physical hands today and feed you. Wake up on the second row here, son. If you'll sit up and not be so comfortable, it'll be easier to stay awake. Now, I'm not trying to keep you awake because I'm mad at you. I got something I want you to hear, and everybody in this room needs to hear what I'm going to say this morning. So slap yourself if you're sleepy. If your wife's sleepy, slap her. But I want you to stay awake. Now, again, I'm not being picky because you're hurting my feelings. I'm being about my very sermon. God loves you. God wants to help you. God's chosen me to help you, but I can't help you if you're taking a nap. I asked the choir a while ago, are you comfortable? Mrs. Bordway said, if it's a little cooler, I can sleep better, I think. But I'm saying, God has chosen me to help you. I said, God loves you. I said, God wants to help you. And I said, God has chosen me to help you. Or let me put it this way, God has chosen to help you through me. Statement number four, if I help you, He likes that. God likes it because God loves you. He wants to help you. He's chosen me to help you. And if I help you, God likes that because then He is helping you through me. Statement number five. Now, this is getting down nitty gritty. This is the only reason He leaves me here. This is the only reason God leaves me here. You see, God loves you, and God wants to help you, but God has chosen me, not just me, but me among others. God has chosen me to help you, and if I help you, God likes that. And that means, I said number five, that is the only reason that God leaves me here. Number six, listen carefully. God wants me in heaven. God made me to praise Him, didn't He? I can praise Him better when I get to heaven than I can down here. I won't get tired in heaven. I won't get sleepy in heaven. I won't be tempted in heaven. I won't have this flesh in heaven. I'll have a new body in heaven. I won't sin in heaven. And God wants me in heaven, but He wants you helped. I said, number one, don't leave me. God loves you. I said, number two, He wants to help you. I said, number three, He has called me to do it. That's Southern talk. He's called me to do it for Him. And He's given me certain gifts whereby I can do it. I have certain gifts, such as I speak, I'm cute, and other gifts that enable me to help you. Now, I am to use those gifts that God has given me to help you with. That means that the only reason God leaves me here is because God wants you to be helped, because God wants me in heaven. But He wants you to be helped so much, He keeps me on earth rather than taking me to heaven because He wants you helped. Number seven. So if I don't help you, He would rather have me in heaven. Are you listening? Or are you applying it to yourself? Okay, I said number one, God loves you. I said number two, He wants to help you. I said number three, He has called me to do it for Him. I said number four, if I help you, God likes that. I said number five, that is the only reason He leaves me here. I said number six, He would rather have me in heaven, but He wants you help. I said number seven, so if I don't help you, He would rather have me in heaven. Number eight, so my right to live, hear me carefully, my right to live is based on my helping you. Do you hear what I said? God didn't save me to let me spend eternity on earth. He saved me to praise Him, and I can praise Him better in heaven. God would rather have me in heaven. The Apostle Paul said, I am a strait betwixt two, desiring to depart. He said, that'd be far better. But he said, it's more needful for you that I stay. Now, if I can keep it more needful for you that I stay, I can hang around a while. See? Now, if Paul, hear me, if Paul said to the Philippian people, he said, I'd rather go to heaven, but it's more needful for you that I stay. So Paul said, I am staying. Don't turn to it. Let me read you just a line there. He said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you. Paul said, I know I'm going to stay with you because you need me to stay with you for a while longer. Now that means my right to live is based on my helping you. And number nine, hear me carefully now, no note taking. So if I do help you, maybe He will let me hang around a while. Now, this next statement, I love it. It's my favorite part. So I am in competition with my successor. Think about that a minute. I am in competition with my successor. If I get to a place to where He could help you more than I do, I won't be here anymore. So I'm in competition. I'm in competition with my successor. Now, that means that's why I work hard. I want to hang around. People said, Brother Hiles, aren't you glad that God has somebody picked out to take your place? Nope. Brother Hiles, when you step aside, are you going to step aside gracefully? Nope. Are you going to be ethical toward your successor? I'm going to beat the dickens out of him. I hate the guy. I don't know who he is, but whoever stands here in my pulpit, I hate him. I worked hard to build this auditorium. I don't want anybody enjoying it for nothing. I worked hard to put those schools up out there. I've given my life to it. And you know what? One of these days, we're going to be debt-free at First Baptist Church Hammond, and I hate it. I've spent all my life trying to pay off this stupid debt, and about the time I get it paid off, I'm going to die and some nut's going to come here and have no debt. That's why I don't want her to marry again. I'm dead. Dr. Bob Gray is getting married again. Not the one in Longview, the one in Jacksonville. And the one in Longview maybe too, I don't know. Dr. Bob Gray's wife went to heaven a little over a year ago. He's getting married again. And people say, isn't that nice? No, it's not nice. I like his wife. Somebody said, don't you know she's up in heaven rejoicing that Dr. Bob has found somebody else? No, she's not. She's not. She's saying that dirty stinking, that was my friend down there. And it was. The lady went to the church and never was married. And she's a good friend to Charlene, Dr. Gray's wife. You think for a single minute Charlene's ever said, well, I'm so glad he has her. No, sir. If she's in charge of lightning, she'd strike her with it right away. I'm not, if Miss Hiles goes for I do, I'm not going to marry again. If I can ever get out of it, but anyway. Huh. I'm saying there ain't nobody going to take my place that's going to work any harder than I do. Because if he would, God made him take my place. The only right I've got to hang around here is to work hard. And I am going to see to it that I can help you more than he could. I'm in competition with that rascal. I don't like a rascal. And I'm going to kick him in the pants if I ever find out who it is. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the only reason I'm here is to help you. And if I don't help you, I have no right to stay here. And the only reason you're here is to help others. And if you don't help others, you have no right to stay here. So as long as my being here will help you more than my leaving, I can stay. In other words, I must use it or lose it. I could tie that arm to my side, as powerful as it is. I could tie that mighty arm, registered as a deadly weapon with the United States government. I could tie that arm to my side and leave it there for a month, and I couldn't use it. You can tie your love up and not use it for a month, and you'll lose it. You can tie your grace up and lose it for a month, and you'll use it for a month, lose it for a month, you not use it for a month. You can do something to it and lose it. I'm saying, whatever, if you don't do use the gifts that God has given you for the purpose he's given, and God didn't give you a gift so you can have a good time. This sin, this pleasure-mad world, I want to play, I want to play. I want to go to the loopity-loop and around and around. I want to ride the merry-go-round. And I want to ride the we used to call it the lightning, the roller coaster. And I want to pay my good money to get scared half to death. And I want to go to the ball game, and I want to go fishing, I want a day off. Brother, what you ought to say is, I want to get to work and do the purpose that God has put me here to do. Use it or lose it. I said, use it or lose it. God said to the church, by the way, as sure as God has given me gifts to help you with, God's given you gifts to help others with too. Now you decide. Now you don't have to believe what I'm saying, but it's true whether you believe it or not. You are going, many of you are going to take years off of your life. Because you are not doing the thing that God has left you here to do. For we are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10 says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained. Now listen carefully to me. God has given you some gifts. And those gifts are not flipping channels. The thing that's destroyed this country is Hollywood's invasion of our homes. And yet you sit there and watch that stupid box, stare at it and stare at it and stare at it. And I'm not saying it's a sin to watch it. I'm saying it's a sin to watch it much. And I'm saying most of the stuff on it is a sin. But I don't care if you didn't have the box. It's time America quit playing and went to work. God said to the church at Ephesus, he said, repent and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee and remove thy candlestick. What's he saying? He's saying, if you as a church don't do what a church is supposed to do, you may have a sign out in front that says church, but I won't have you registered in heaven as a church. You'll lose your franchise, and I won't call you a church. You'll just be a bunch of people meeting there. He said, you can lose it if you don't use it. And he's saying this, either you go soul winning and do what I told you to do, or you won't be a church anymore. He said in John chapter 15, he said, any branch that doesn't bear fruit, he purgeth it. And after he purges it, if it still doesn't bear fruit, he cuts it off. I'm saying, you use what God has given you for the purpose he's given it to you, or you lose it. I know a preacher. He got older, middle 50s. And as you get older, you get tireder. I mean, I get tired than I used to. I often say I can kick as high as ever, but it hurts more to kick than it used to. But I'm saying, he decided to take a year off. For 1 year, he decided not to pastor. Got him a job. In fact, didn't need much of a job. He had a little personal income. And he said, I'm going to take a year off. A year, what do they call those? Sabbaticals? A year sabbaticals. And he took a year off. After a year, he couldn't find a church. And he tried to find a church and tried to find a church and tried to find a church and couldn't find one. And then he got blaming God because God wouldn't give him a church. And he came to me and said, would you recommend me to a church? And I said, no, I won't. He said, why? I said, I don't want to recommend a fellow that wants a year off. I want to recommend a fellow that will work till he dies. Then finally, by the way, he said, well, I don't have any place to preach. I said, how about rest homes? How about hospitals? How about street corners? Guy wouldn't preach in a rest home, not fit to preach behind the pulpit of a church. I said, you, and the truth is, he lost it. You know why? He didn't use it. God gave him the ability to preach. He didn't use it. He lost it. God gave him the ability to pastor. He didn't use it. He lost it. God gave him the ability to lead. He didn't use it. He lost it. And that man's been 10 years ago, and that man's done nothing. Oh, he has a little church, but it doesn't grow. And nobody ever gets saved. Why? He didn't use it. He lost it forever. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got a choice. God has left me here to help you. If I don't help you, he wants me in heaven. And my only right to stay here is if I help you. Let me give you another illustration. Howard Jewell. Know the name? Howard Jewell. Let me tell you a story. Howard Jewell was a gospel singer. Howard Jewell was not invited to church as much. He was a younger man, a middle-aged man. Hear me carefully now. He was not invited to church as much as younger middle-aged man. Howard Jewell, though, was given a voice. And Howard Jewell said, I don't have to be invited to a church to sing. I'll sing anyway. Howard Jewell went on the street corners and just started singing. And he'd go to restaurants and just get up from the table and start singing. Other singers wrote me letters and said, could you get me engagements in churches? Howard Jewell said, don't need that. I got an engagement at a restaurant. I got an engagement on a street corner. Howard Jewell would go to prisons and sing. Howard Jewell would go to rescue missions and sing. What was he doing? Using it. Using it. And then he got older. And by the way, nobody knew him. Howard Jewell was not known. Nobody knew Howard Jewell hardly. I'd seen him a time or two across the country. But the truth is, his voice was only average at best. But Howard Jewell was given a gift to sing. Just like this preacher I mentioned a while ago was given a gift to preach and lead. Howard Jewell went to the rest homes, sing on the street corner. He'd sing for Salvation Army rallies. The old days when Salvation Army was a Salvation Army. He'd get a preacher and say, would you go preach on the street corner? I'd like to sing for Jesus. And Howard Jewell go down and sing. Have a seat, son. Hey, sit down. Son, sit down. And he said he'd just preach on the streets. Sing on the streets. Or sing in a jail. Sing in a rest home. I was in Decatur, Georgia. Don't miss this story. I was in Decatur, Georgia. Howard Jewell was now up in years. I'm talking about he was about the age I am now. Never been used in churches much. Not known except by prisoners, street people, jails, rescue missions. He was there and his wife was over here in a wheelchair. Howard Jewell stood up and he said, folks, I'd like to sing. They didn't invite him to. He said, I want to sing. He said, my wife has had a stroke. She can't talk. Doesn't sound too bad, does it? Who knows? Maybe she'll have a stroke one of these days and you can get to say a word. What a deal. Got a wife and she can't talk. But here's a strange thing. He said, my wife can't talk, but she can sing. I said, don't believe it. He said, it's true. She can sing, but she can't talk. I'd go over and talk to her. She couldn't. She'd stand up and they'd sing a song, and she could sing it just as clearly. And they sang a duet that day. Now, wait a minute. Here's a man that did, he used what he had. He used it without invitations, street corners, jails, hospitals, rescue missions. He used it. As I said, I've seen him stand up before 400 people in a restaurant and just start singing. I've seen folks ask him to sing another one. I said, Brother Jewel, you and your wife sang that duet. I can't believe it. She sat there in a wheelchair. Couldn't talk, but she could sing. I said, you got to come to pastor school. Howard Jewell and his wife came to pastor school, almost anonymous people in America. They sang, she sang, wheelchair, he sang, and the Spirit lifted him out of himself. And Howard Jewell had his whole personality changed. I mean, pastor school turned him on. And brother in pastor school turned him on, he turned America on. And Howard Jewell started going all across this country singing. The last 20 years of his life were the greatest years of his life. And as an old man with a pacemaker beating on inside of his chest, he'd stand up here and sing. He came to pastor school almost every year. And from pastor school, churches of all sizes, big, little, small, great, they had him to come. And Howard Jewell had the greatest years of his life in his 70s and in his 80s. You know why? I'll tell you why. He used what he had. And you sit there. God's given you the ability to sell, but you never win a soul to Christ. God's given you a gift to sing, and you never sing for God. God's given you the gift to preach. You've never preached a sermon. But you see, with the house, I'm looking for a pulpit committee. Look for a street corner. Use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. And Howard Jewell went to heaven a few months ago. Left $8,300 in his will for First Baptist Church of Hammond. And our young folks went to camp for the day on that $8,300. Howard Jewell had a part in our school camp recently. You know why? He used it. He wasn't like the preacher that said, I haven't got a pulpit. I won't take a year off. He said, I'll use it. If I don't have invitations, I'll use it. Now, you listen to me. You listen well. Everybody in this room, if all you can do is sow, then sow for sick people. All you can do is work on somebody's yard, then work on some poor people's yard. God did not give you those gifts just to make money with. And God did not give you those gifts just to have fun with. God gave you the gifts you have to help His people whom He loves with all of His heart. You know one reason? Brother Hiles has been used a little bit. And why I preach to more people this morning than any man in America probably preaches to. You know one reason? Because when God called me to preach, I wasn't looking for a pulpit committee. I'd go out in East Texas. I'd find me a little lot somewhere in the country. I'd get me some tree limbs. I'd cut down some tree limbs and build me a brush arbor. A brush arbor was nothing but some post and some net across it. You put some brush across the top to keep the sun from beating down in the summertime. The sun didn't set till 7 or 7:30, and I'd go out in the country and build a brush arbor. Didn't have a church, didn't have a pulpit committee, didn't have a salary. I'd go up and down the neighborhood, get my little car, a 1941 Dodge. I called the car Jezebel because she's as cantankerous as Ahab's wife. And I'd get in Jezebel and drive out in the country. I'd go from house to house and I'd say, hey, we're having preaching down here tonight. I got a friend can play the accordion. Come down here. I want to preach. I'd go up and spend the entire afternoon going farmhouse to farmhouse. Going to preach down here tonight at 7 o'clock.
I'd gather 45, 50 people down there under Brush Arbor, and I'd preach. I don't have to have a pulpit committee. I'd preach. I'd go out to city parks and get under the pavilions in city parks and stand up there and preach. I'd borrow some chairs from some funeral home and take those chairs out to city park, and I'd get me a place to preach. I'd borrow a tent and go out in a little vacant lot and get a tent and get me a place to preach. You know why? Brother, you don't have to hire me for me to use what God's given me. I'm going to use it anyway. I went out to a black church. Asked them if I could preach. I went out there every Wednesday night and preached for nothing at that black church. That's where I learned how to preach. They weren't like you. They preached me to death. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing here this morning talking to hundreds of people in this room who are sitting there and doing nothing for God, and you think you've done God a favor because you come and fill up 18 inches or more of pew on Sunday morning and have your little worship service and pay your homage to God. God didn't put you on earth to sit out there for 45 minutes or an hour, hour and a half on a Sunday morning. God put you here to help His people. He put you here to feed the hungry. He put you here to clothe the naked. He put you here to put shoes on bare feet. He put you here to put coats on cold bodies. He put you here to tell folks about the Savior. He put you here to lift up the fallen. He put you here to encourage the discouraged. He put you here to raise up those who are down. He put you here to cheer up those who are sad. He put you here to comfort those who are bereaved. And brother, I promise you this. I am not going to let my successor preach harder than I do. I'm not going to let him help you more than I do. I'm in competition with that dirty buzzard, and I'm going to give it all I've got and work all I've got. I'm going to give it everything I can give it. Why? I want to stay around a while. And if I get to a place where I can't help you as much as that rascal can, I'll go into heaven, and that rascal filled my pulpit. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not going to lose it because I am going to use it.
You've heard me tell this before, but about once every couple of months, I go to a tavern in Chicago. Not for the purpose you guys go to it. I go to preach. I walk in, ask the bartender if I can say a few words. They always say the same thing. What do you want to speak about? I say about religion. And they always say the same thing. 95% of them say, go ahead, I'm a Catholic myself. Don't criticize me, criticize the Catholics that drink. I stand up on the bar and preach. You thought I was getting up there, didn't you? I stand up on the bar and preach. 7 months ago, I was standing up preaching on a bar over in South Chicago, telling about Jesus. Old drunk, about 40 people, and an old drunk stood up back in the back at the back table. He said, folks, you better listen to that man. He knows what he's talking about. That's my pastor. He was a truck driver, by the way. And that's why I get up early. And that's why I work late. And that's why I work hard. And that's why I preach several times a day. And that's why I fly 200,000 miles a year. God has given me a few things. And the Bible says He's given me these things for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what it's for. And if I don't use it, I lose it. Some of you Howells Anderson graduates, men, pardon the expression, I'm sorry I lied, God, sitting out there right now. God's called you to preach, and you haven't preached in months. Now you listen to me, and you listen well. You sitting out there waiting for some backslidden pulpit committee, some little church emperor to call you, be pastor, so you can preach. You listen to me. As long as there's a street corner, as long as there's a jailhouse. When I was in college, I used to go to tuberculosis sanatorium every Friday night. I mean, in those days, when you had tuberculosis, it was deadly. You didn't have all this miracle drugs and antibiotics and so forth. I used to go every Friday night as a 21-year-old kid preacher. That tuberculosis sanatorium had about 15 different wards, and I'd go from ward to ward.
Every Friday night, to two or three different wards, I stand up here and preach to those people. And say, well, what'd you get for it? Got to live. Got to please God. You folks that teach the Bible at Howells Henderson College or teach English at Howells Henderson College, you men, supposed to be preachers. Don't wait till some pulpit committee calls you or some church invites you. Brother, use it or lose it. Oh, my soul. My job is to help you. I want to stay around a while. I plan to stay around a while. But if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, I can have more fun in heaven than I can down here. And I have never been up there, so I can't testify to it. But the Bible says I can. Let me do the preaching. You just say amen. You have to preach. Now you listen to me. I could enjoy heaven more than earth. God wants me in heaven because I could praise Him like He ought to be praised. Please do not be walking around now. I could praise Him like He ought to be praised. But God has left me here. As Paul said to the Philippians, it's more needful for you. So when it's not more needful for me, God will take me on to heaven. But I'm not the only person here supposed to help people. How long has it been since you fed a hungry body? Some of you folks didn't even bring canned goods for the food shower. The least you can do is give an old rusty can of hominy. How long has it been since you bought a coat for a cold body? How long has it been since you put a pair of shoes on a bare foot? How long has it been since you did the thing God has left you here to do? And the thing that God has left you here to do is to help His people. I said again, God loves you. He wants to help you. He's called me to do it for Him. If I help you, He likes it. That's the only reason He leaves me here. He wants me in heaven, but He wants you helped. So if I don't help you, He would rather have me in heaven. So my right to live is based on my helping you. So if I do help you, maybe He'll let me hang around a while. So I'm in competition with my successor. And as long as my being here will help you more than my leaving, I can stay. In other words, if I keep using it, I won't lose it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Now, you may still be alive, but like that preacher, you can't preach anymore. No power, no compassion, nobody follows you. He lost it. Why don't you do like Howard Jewell did? I love that story. I love that story. Nobody knew him until he was old. Because he wasn't trying to be known. He was using what God had given him. He used it on a street corner. He used it in a hospital, in a jail. He used it with the Salvation Army. And one day a preacher was down in Atlanta, Georgia area named Jack Hiles, who ran across him and saw his wife sitting over there in a wheelchair. And that wheelchair covered America. And that old pacer in his heart covered America. And God gave him the opportunities as an older man he never had as a younger man. Because while he was a younger man, he used it. And didn't blame somebody else because he wasn't using it. He didn't blame the preachers in America that wouldn't have him come and sing for him. He used it, and he used it. And by the way, he lived a long time. I couldn't help but remember that night. His wife had the stroke right here on this very platform. We raised over $30,000, I think it was. Paid off their house. I can still hear him singing. What's that song he used to sing? Sun's coming up in the morning. Boy, he'd smile and shout, stop and say, well, glory! Sun's coming up in the morning. Sun's coming up in the morning. What you going to do with what God's given you? Use it or lose it? No one leaving. Would you bow your heads, please?